Me to Philippians chapter 1, please. The book of Philippians chapter 1. So good to have everyone here this beautiful summer morning. And happy Father's Day to all you wonderful fathers out there. Norman reminded me yesterday that I need to have a special thanks to all the great fathers we have here, and we surely do. We surely are blessed to have so many examples of good fathers. And happy Father's Day to all of you. The sermon this morning isn't going to be related to fathers. Sorry, Norman. Probably next year. But I want to follow up with VBS, and this will probably be our last VBS-related lesson for a little while. And throughout last week, it was a great week because it allowed us to think the whole week about faith. And I will just be very honest with y'all that of the Christian virtues, faith is the one that I just struggle with quite a bit because I'm an empiricist. I like the data. I like the evidence. I like the reason. I like the, you know, all the evidence that's there. And faith is something that has been a challenge that I've had to grow in and had to accept God's grace in. To really have faith that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. But this last week, for me at least, was a great encouragement just to every day be thinking about faith and to be thinking about how God's faith, how God's faithful people have provided for us such great examples. And one of the lessons that really caught my eye as we were going through it was this distinction between faith and fear. And really, as we developed the lessons throughout the week, it seemed that each of the characters we discussed had to make a decision of whether they were to act by faith or by fear. So what I would like to do this morning is, I would like to apply this to the church, and then this evening I would like for us to apply it to our individual daily lives. So as we look at this distinction between faith and fear, I think there's immense implications for us here as a local body. And I want us to think about and consider what the Scriptures teaches us about what it means to grow and to act and to live by faith. This evening, we're going to look at another of the examples of Jesus, and we'll talk about in our daily lives how to cultivate faith rather than acting by fear. But this morning, I want us to think about, as a local body here, how do we grow by faith? So, as just a bit of review, y'all know I have to do it one final time, and hopefully you have it memorized by now. The book of Hebrews is all about endurance. The book of Hebrews is an exhortation to endure. Theme verse coming from chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And so the Hebrew author, whoever he was, Richard, decided to write this exhortation, this sermon, in order to give them an exhortation to endure. So at the time, they were facing social rejection. And because of this social rejection, the Hebrew author gives to them this sermon that is to give them endurance. And then, faith is the means by which we endure. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So as we look at faith, we have need of endurance to run the race of life. We have need of endurance to live our Christian life. And faith, then, is the means by which we endure. Faith that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him allows us to continue along the obstacles of life. But then as we looked at David, one of the lessons we particularly looked at with him was this distinction between faith and fear. And so as David went against the great Goliath, Saul and all of Saul's army were terrified of this man. And they were convinced that this little whippersnapper who goes up against the great Goliath, he's going to have no chance. They were terrified by him. And so as they looked at him and they looked at Goliath, they were terrified not only that David would die, but also that Goliath and the rest of the Philistines would overtake them. And then David says, "Oh no, my God will deliver you into my hand." So David acts by faith, whereas all of the rest of Israel is acting by fear. And then Saul, likewise, throughout the rest of his kingship, acts by fear. He's afraid of David, so he pursues him. He's afraid of the enemy, so he builds up his army. He's afraid of losing his wealth, so he gathers more wealth. Saul lives by fear. David lived by faith. Now, David faltered at times with the census with Bathsheba and other occasions. But overall, David was a man of great faith. Saul was a man of fear. And this distinction, I think, likewise, has immense implications for how we live and especially how we look at the local church together. So what I want to do is I want to understand how a church grows when motivated by fear versus when motivated by faith. So that takes us to Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians is written to a growing church. And Paul says, beginning in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that is from God. So Paul, as he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, he admonishes them and he tells them, here essentially is what you need to do. You need to strive for the faith, and yet you do not need to be frightened. Now, the church at Philippi was not facing types of social rejection to the same extent that the Hebrew Christians were. In the book of Philippians, it's fairly unique in the New Testament in that it's one of the few epistles of Paul that doesn't have a lot of problems. The church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, various churches throughout the New Testament, those letters are written to correct problems. The church at Philippi receives this letter more as a letter of thanksgiving. They had helped Paul financially and also spiritually in his ministry and in his work for the gospel. And Paul writes this letter to them, thanking them for it and exhorting them to continue in the faith. But a part of his exhortation is he tells them, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. Now let's get the image here. That you're standing firm, but with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So you notice almost that paradox there, that you're standing firm, but also that you're striving together. And the image that he paints here then is you need to be standing together where you're united, but once you're united, you strive forward together. And again, I think this idea of striving takes us back to endurance. Remember back in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, so much was written about endurance, about continuing the race. And it's a very similar image that Paul gives here in Philippians 1. Just as the Hebrew writer had admonished them to endure, Paul exhorts the church at Philippi, you strive for the sake of the gospel. But as you strive for the faith, verse 28, do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. So here is the choice for the church at Philippi. You either strive for the faith or you be frightened by your opponents. That was their choice. Now, we're going to talk about as we go through what the implications of this are, but I first want to talk about what is the nature of faith and fear. What's the nature of each of these? Well, as we look at faith, we've talked about it in quite a bit of depth, but I want to go back and read that Hebrews 11 passage again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, that is God. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith leads to hope and endurance. And that's the nature of faith. Faith is essential to hope. And I would even argue you cannot have hope without faith. Faith is an essential component of having hope. And as you take within the context of the Hebrew Christians, they were being socially rejected. And he tells them, you have faith that God will take you through this. And you have faith that God will deliver you ultimately to heaven. And that's the picture that he paints over and over and over throughout chapter 11. Is that no matter what life may give you, no matter how many times you're rejected, no matter how many obstacles may come, you endure for the sake of the gospel by faith, knowing that God has prepared something better for you. And so faith itself is not just blind following, but it's a firm trust in God. And as I said last week, I really think faith is just this essential component of trust. Faith is not that we're just blindly following God because we have no other choice, but it's because we trust Him as our Creator, we trust Him as our Savior, we trust Him as our Redeemer, and because of that trust, we're going to follow Him. We're going to go with Him. We're going to listen to Him. We're going to obey Him. But it comes from faith, and that faith then gives us hope. Fear is a little bit more complicated, because fear is used in both positive and negative ways in the New Testament. As we look at fear, I want to contrast two verses. I first want us to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Within this section of 1 John 4, he's making this point that God is love. And he says in 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." I'm going to read it one more time. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Whereas faith has to do with hope, fear has to do with despair. Whereas faith has to do with an eternal reward, fear has to do with eternal destruction. And the two concepts are utterly opposed to one another. Because just as he tells us there is no fear in love, I think it's a natural extension as well, there is no fear in faith. By faith, we can be rejected however many times we want. God is still going to give to us that eternal reward. No matter how many times we are rejected, God is still with us. And it doesn't matter how many times we have faith. Fear, on the other hand, goes around constantly afraid of what bad is going to happen, of what punishment's going to occur, about what evil thing is going to happen next. And brethren, does that sound like the times we live in or what? I mean, if you turn on the television, and it doesn't matter any station, we're either going to be killed by terrorists, if cancer doesn't get us first, and if we're not first killed in a car wreck, and then if the car wreck doesn't get to us, there may be this rare virus over in Africa that may possibly make its way over here and then potentially kill all of us while we're sleeping in our beds. And then that doesn't even mention, begin to talk about all the, you know, bed hazards that there potentially are. And, you know, what if we have a faulty bed? And then what if I have a faulty bed? Then that means I may have not locked my door at night. And then if I don't lock my door at night, then that means someone may come in at night. And then if someone may come in at night, what if they have a disease and they just steal from me? And then if they just steal from me, then that means they may have a disease and leave with me. I mean, brethren, that's how our minds can think, isn't it? And as ludicrous as that sounds, I think that's how many of us honestly think. That we're going to either be murdered in our beds or get a disease and die the next day. And it's a dear wonder that I've made it to 26 ripe old years in the world in which we live, right? I mean, because with all the evil and all the great wickedness around us, how have I made it to 26? It's a wonder. I'm ancient. Well, fear is cultivated. The media thrives on fear. The media wants nothing more than for us to be terrified of everything. In the ways of the world, want us to be terrified by everything. Because that has to do with punishment, with destruction. And that has nothing to do with love. And brethren, lives that are tossed by fear, and lives in people who are plagued by destruction and fear, it is a miserable, miserable existence. Because rather than hoping for what good can come next, I'm always fearing what bad may come next. Rather than hoping for the reward that may come, I'm fearing that the destruction that may come. Rather than trusting the God who saved me, I'm fearing all of the evil that this world can offer. And brethren, my question that I want us to truly ask ourselves, what fills my mind? Hope in what good can happen, or fear in what bad may happen. Trust in the good that God can give, fear in the bad that the world can offer. That's our choice. And as we go throughout the rest of the New Testament, fear is not always used in a negative term. If we go to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 uses fear in a good way. It says in Philippians 2:12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." This fear here, it's the exact same word, but this fear is reverence. It's reverence in God, fear in God, fear in what bad may happen if we don't work out our salvation. Not all fear is bad, but the fear that should not plague our lives is worldly fear. Godly fear, godly reverence is necessary to the Christian life, and something perhaps way lacking for my generation in general America. We don't understand reverence. We don't understand respect and fear, true godly fear. But that's not the fear that we are to rid our lives of. That is the reverence that should fill our beings. The fear that from which we should rid our lives is the worldly fear that leads to despair and destruction. Godly fear is respect and reverence for the Almighty Holy God of heaven. Worldly fear is being terrified of every bad thing that may happen. So, brethren, again, here's my question. Which one fits my life? Faith or fear? Hope or despair? Endurance or destruction? If I'm being honest with myself, so often I give in to fear, because fear is easy. Faith is hard. It is easy to be afraid of everything that the world could offer. And it is easy to be afraid and terrified of everything that Satan can throw at us. And it's easy to be afraid of all the destruction that can come. Faith takes trust. Faith takes endurance. Faith takes hope. But brethren, that's what God has called us to. And then as we look at the outcomes of each of these, just as the nature of faith is vastly different from the nature of fear, the outcome of fear is vastly different from the outcome of faith. Well, first of all, as we look at fear, what is the outcome of fear? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul here is talking about the opponents, and he says in Philippians 3:19, "Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." The false teachers who were focused on the things of this earth, who were focused on the things that were temporary, who were focused on the things of this world, ultimately were going to be led to destruction because their God is their belly and they glory in their shame. And the picture that's painted throughout Scripture is that ultimate fear leads to destruction. Let's go back to Saul and David. What ended up happening to Saul? Well, Saul, you remember, was afraid that his kingdom was going to be torn away from him. He was afraid of David. He was afraid of the Philistines. He was afraid of his own citizens. He was probably afraid of his own shadow at one point. I mean, Saul lived a life that was epitomized by fear. How does Saul ultimately die? By kind of an accident, which perhaps was God's providence as well, in war with the Philistines. The very thing that he feared so much was the thing that destroyed him. And call it a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I think that's so often what happens in our lives. We fear something so much that we finally just will it to happen. I'm just so terrified that X is going to happen in my life, and finally I feared it so much it's just going to come to happen. And that's where fear leads us. Its nature's evil. Its nature leads to destruction. And its nature leads to despair. But the outcome of it ultimately leads to destruction. Faith, on the other hand, has a much more glorious and joyful outcome. As we look at Philippians 3:12, a verse I've pointed us to many times, and I'm going to read it many, many more times. Philippians 3:12. "Not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, that I do not consider I've made it my own, but one thing I do,